Hello and welcome to episode two. We finally got round to doing episode two. It's myself and Michelle. Michelle, say hello to the lovely people.
Hello, lovely people.
All five of you. And
I think you're being a bit generous.
Well, I'm thinking my mum, Sarah, Cax is listening to it.
Hey, Cax.
Cax, what about you, buddy? Hope you're driving your van and being safe when you're listening to this, because that's when he listens to it.
He does, yeah.
And I feel really bad because I didn't mention Cax in the last podcast. I mentioned the other guys and didn't mention Cax.
That was nice. He's the best one.
Cax is lovely. The other two are hard. Well, Jones is simple and Bill's angry.
Exactly.
I'm only joking, Jones.
Cax is an all round good guy.
You're not simple, Jones.
You
acted, but I don't think you are. Anyway, yes, episode two. We don't really have a guest as such. Michelle, who's kind of all you're going to be here, she's part of the furniture.
Well, yeah, because I fucking live in this house.
Yes, because we're in Michelle's house. We also have Max the dog here, who sometimes replaces Cax because he's called Max. So if you hear a quacking sound, now the dog doesn't make quacking sounds. The dog, Max, is chewing on a toy duck that makes a quacking sound. He is now. Listen, you might hear it. Because last time we were over and we were able to use Blick as a trial. I'll talk to Michelle after this. But they let us use it for free the last time. And in the middle of it, you probably heard some yoga people. So now we have to have a distraction in the background. It's becoming a theme.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It just makes things more normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
so,
you know, I can't go anywhere without my shadow, so he has to be here.
And Max, as I say, is not used to me being here because we couldn't have recorded earlier because he was getting a bit protective.
He was. He wanted to eat him.
He wanted to eat me. And then Stevie here drops his book and scares the shit out of Max, and we'll have to wait a wee while for him to settle down and get used to me. So no sudden movements. But he seems to be, he's left a duck. He's a well trained dog.
It's because you mentioned it, and that there was going to be noise and the duck was going to quack, and he said to himself, well, I'll fucking show you. And he's left it.
There you go, Max. You are indeed the mascot of the Art of Talking Bollocks. So you are. But yeah, we don't really have any guests because I'm too lazy. That's why we haven't had episode two in about 3 weeks, maybe longer. I know it's about a month. I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while.
Yeah, it's coming up to a month.
And I thought, well, sod it, let's do the podcast. So Michelle's like, yeah, she's got a free house, so let's use it. So I don't know where to start here. We may as well just start with what we've been up to recently. What have you been up to recently, Michelle? And
not really too much. Myself and Max have been on like I wouldn't say health kick, but we've been walking a lot more during the day, so we have been counting our steps, and we're doing 12,000 steps in a day. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's nearly 2 hours every day of walking.
That's a lot to me.
And it's actually great for him because then he leaves me alone and he's quiet, and it's actually helping my back a lot more than I thought it would have.
Yeah.
Considering this has been going on for 2 years and they never know what they're doing or what's wrong or whatever. So we're finding out what's working for us, and we've been doing that. And then obviously last week we met up with the rest of the Sixth Sense, and that was a very funny, sick, disgusting, lovely
medicine.
Day.
The best medicine. I've left my hands out here like Jesus almost. And
he's sitting.
And Max
like
is come over and going, I want to smell your hands, dude.
He's wagging his tail. So
okay.
You must have something on.
And then I've made eye contact with him, and he just slowly sat down. As if to say, all right, man.
Max, you don't want to do that. I know where them hands have been.
Where have they been?
I don't know, Jabberwocky.
See, oh yeah, no, that's been a, yeah, that's, that no, you don't want to show Max those. He's an innocent young dog. But there's a duck quacking. That's one quack, if you're keeping count. We've got one count. But anyway, that's cool, man. I mean, that's getting out, looking after yourself, looking after Mr. Max here, tiring him out so you can get a bit of peace and quiet to yourself. Like, so
that's it, yeah.
It's all good. At least you're getting out and doing exercise. I'm doing none. So, you know.
Well, you're at work every day, you know.
I know, but you still have to get out and do stuff. You know, you go, oh, I'm going to go out for a walk in the evening, and then you get home and you go, I can't be arsed. I can't be arsed doing this shit. So
it is hard to get that motivation. I don't think I would have the motivation if I didn't have to walk in.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a blessing in that way. Well, in a lot of ways, but in that way, he gets me taken up every day and take him out, because if he wasn't here, I don't think I'd be walking 12,000
yeah.
steps. You know.
So Max is helping you.
Yes, he is.
Max is helping you. Yes, you, Max.
He always does.
He
loves the sound of his name.
He does.
People
does
about
indeed.
Him.
It's like
very self-absorbed.
But yeah, as you say, we were meeting up last week for the Sixth Sense, because we've got a show which we'll plug later on at the end of the podcast, and we'll do it to remind you at the end. Or
yeah.
maybe we'll do it now. Fuck it, we'll do it now.
Yeah.
The 28th of June at Shea Nobody, and as I've called it before, the entertainment capital of the world, Lurgan.
Do you know what? It's probably going to be so much crack, because, to be fair, we do know quite a few people from around that area, and they do have the best sense of humour, and they're not as uptight.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm kind of looking forward to it that way, because I'm like,
yeah.
fucking hell, this could be like we've added wee bits, because obviously I'm not going to give that away in the podcast. You need to come to the show to see that. But we've kind of added to some sketches we've done before. We've added kind of a, and we're trying to, in my head I remember thinking, this needs to be, I don't want to say this and make it doesn't happen, but I want it to be like a rock show, you know, I know it sounds, but you know what I mean, that
no,
people
I
come in
it.
And there's a good energy, and
yeah.
I think if we can get a good crowd with good energy,
yeah,
it'll affect us on the stage as much, so hopefully that's what it'll be.
Well, definitely you feed off what you're receiving.
Yeah, absolutely.
From people watching, and that's certainly been the case for many of the shows that The Sixth Sense has done, and especially when you get the audience involved, it seems to really work.
Yeah, it means that is a big thing. It's fucking, if the audience are good, it makes you feel good, because you always wait for those first laughs, and once the first laughs come, we just go boom. We go.
I know. I remember being backstage at the last show, and everybody was more nervous this time than any other time I've ever seen it. And I think it was because there's two shows really close together, and a lot of it was new content, and it was so much work to do. And I remember that first laugh, and then you guys walking backstage, and me just like tapping you on the back and being like, "Oh, thank God!"
Yeah.
Because I get nervous too for you. Because I see the stuff beforehand and I know that it's funny, and but it's trying to convince you guys. I think you know that it is as well.
Yeah.
But you guys have kind of like the same sense of humour and personality and things like that, where these kind of things would make you laugh, and you don't know your audience all the time.
That's
of course, you get the same people to come. But at that last show, there was a lot of people that we've never seen. There was tourists and things like that. And you're always very nervous that you're going to strike a nerve with somebody.
Yeah, because our comedy isn't your nice safe comedy. We do try and push the barriers ever so slightly. So you wonder if there's people. It's the big fear is going out and laying an egg, you know, and no one laughing. I think I know me and Cax kind of would be the two out of the four of us. Cax gets really nervous.
Yeah.
I kind of get nervous until the first laugh comes. Then the first laughs come, I just can't wait to get out more and stuff like that. There, I think he's the same. To be honest with you, you wouldn't know it when you see him on the stage.
You wouldn't know it to see any of us.
I think none of us feel nervous on the stage. I mean, yes.
Bill is over the top, confident,
/cocky.
Yeah. But I have never seen that guy get nervous. Never.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether he is on the inside or whether he just says to himself, fuck it, let's just go for it. Or he's just really confident in the material that he's done, and that's pretty amazing. You know, he just
goes
out there and has a great time.
Possibly, I've got the battle scars of doing a comedy podcast, or not comedy, what am I on? I'm doing a comedy show. As we heard in the last one, if you haven't heard episode one, listen to episode one with Johnny and Jade. We did lay an egg in the same venue. We did a show, and the first half it failed miserably, because there is such a thing as having the wrong audience. We had the wrong audience as well. better planning. There was other things, but so I've had the scar, the battle scars. I think Cax, to an extent, might have had from music he's played in front of small crowds, and maybe that he creates that disheartened. So
yeah,
there's that kind of thing that goes on
yeah.
in your head.
Yeah.
And but then weirdly, we did the Strand show, and the Strand was kind of our old stuff, and I found myself getting a wee bit nervous before that. Cax was really nervous. But then something in my head went, do you know what? I don't care anymore. I actually don't care. It's like, I find this funny. If the audience doesn't find it funny, that's fair enough. The amount of top comedians out there are saying, Bill Burr was saying it recently in his own podcast. He was saying, look, I went out, did shows, and I went to one place and I bombed. You know, that's Bill fucking
Bill
Burr.
Yeah.
So you're not, there's some places you're not going to get that. I think we found it when we did Hardy Bucks show, when we opened for them, wasn't our crowd, wasn't the right kind of show, wasn't a great kind of venue.
The venue wasn't great, the crowd were ridiculous, to be quite honest. They were very rude, they didn't even really give you guys the opportunity to perform. As soon as you guys walked on the stage, they booed, because they weren't there to see you.
Yeah.
And they didn't want an opening act, they just wanted the Hardy Bucks to come on. And to be quite honest, when we were sitting back then and watching the Hardy Bucks, I was kind of like, I can see now why they kind of booed, because it's like night and day.
Yeah.
It's so different. It wasn't the right people to back. Like, for me, the Sixth Sense would be backing somebody like, what's his name? A Scottish comedian.
Oh, Frankie Boyle.
Like Frankie Boyle, you know, who doesn't give a shit. Goes out, insults people,
yeah.
talks about every little thing, has no filter whatsoever, and people enjoy it. Those kind of crowds is
yeah.
what the Sixth Sense would work really well with.
And what I'd say about that show was, yeah, I went off and I went, and it was really hard, because they laughed a bit, but we came off the stage and we're like, and watched it. We had to sit and be nice and watch the Hardy Bucks. You didn't.
I went home.
But we were trying to be, we were being polite, and I was just like, you know what? It wasn't really, it was alright, it was too long, and I'm not going to go into that, because like,
yeah.
they were nice enough to add, we were nice enough to be put forward for them, so I'm very grateful for that. But the one nice thing about that show was, there was one guy out of the whole show came over to us and says, guys, I love what you do, and got information on us and stuff like that there.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck it, if I can get the one person in that crowd, that's a start, do you know what I mean? So we're still in the, I still think we're in the early days, and we need to go out and try. We've kind of only stayed in that wee cocoon of Belfast.
Yeah.
We're now trying Lurgan, and we have talked now that the rest of the year we're going to try and go out to more places in Ireland as such. Not too many. We, you know, family commitments and stuff like that this year, and next year really, really kick on.
Yeah. But maybe even two more shows in Northern Ireland, one in the South.
Yeah.
You know, be nice to play somewhere like Dublin to get the audience from there
yeah.
too. And then obviously you've got next year to really kickstart, you know, maybe going over to the UK and things
yeah.
like that. I mean, a lot of people, it does take a long time, especially comedy, it's so hard.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their own version of what it is.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to break through that. But I mean, everybody's really committed and everybody wants it to work. So we will keep pushing, and
that's it.
And we will get there.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you.
I hope so. but it's good to, you know, we're doing comedy. We're going to do these shows this year, and then next year we can maybe start looking to do the bigger things and getting it out there. But the good thing is, I think what we're starting to do is just use the same material in different times. Whereas sometimes, that's Max, by the way, if you hear that. Again, you hear, don't worry, it's Max, and he's fully entitled to do it, it's his house. But the show, yeah, keeping the same kind of show, it's because now we're out of Belfast, we don't have to keep writing new material and putting
yeah.
new stuff in, we can just go out and use some of the old stuff and start to craft it in their own thing. I mean, we've had a couple of good people saying this, that you can see how tight it's starting to get because we're doing more shows together and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
So.
And it's good to take what you've got on the road because there's so much fantastic material, and it's such a waste for to put in all that work that you guys do,
yeah.
all the writing, all the editing, all the filming, everything, to just have it to one show in Belfast and then leave it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so much golden material there, like, that people need to see.
Yeah.
So if you, it's good that you're able to put all that into one show, take it on the road and let people see what you've been
absolutely.
Doing for the last lot of years. So again, the 28th of June, it's £5 in, you can pay at the door, there's no tickets online or anything like that, which is great, we don't have to,
yeah,
to worry about
that
side of it this time. It's bring your own drink that night as well, so for all you Lurgan folk, that's probably a bottle of that toxic fucking waste.
Lurgan champagne itself.
The Bucky.
The Bucky,
yeah.
Which I wouldn't advise. I remember drinking that. There used to be a motorbike race in Saintfield. Good old Saintfield. It used to be the Temple 100 back in the day. It got stopped because actually a local guy got killed. He lived on the course. I'm going to mention his name is Phil Conroy. I knew the guy, but that's a bit of a morbid turn. But the racing was ended because the roads were too short, they were too narrow, and it was too dangerous, so they stopped that. But the reason my Bucky story was the first, I decided as an 18-year-old, thought, I'm going to take Bucky. I'm going to try it. I've heard all about this Bucky and brought it up, and it was the only thing I had with me. And I drank about 3 sips and was sober as a fucking judge the rest of the bloody day. Which usually was my thing, was you go, we used to get drunk, go find
yeah.
a part in the field and watch these guys fly by us. And I wasn't really a big motorbike fan, but hey, it was on the front door, so and it was an excuse to drink. But yeah, Buckfast. I've never drank
no.
it since.
No.
And hey, if you like it, what is wrong with you?
Exactly.
What has happened to your taste buds?
The only time I've ever drank it has been in Jones and Kathy's house, you know, and
yeah.
he's a big fan of it, of course, and Guth always comes
yeah.
up and he's like, just have a try of it, Michelle. I'm like, okay, tried it. Can't remember, but apparently I drank nearly all of it. And it was the worst hangover I've ever had in my life. Well, according to them, I did, but I don't think this is true. I think they're lying to me because I would either be dead or sworn off alcohol for life.
Yeah.
It's the most horrendous thing I've ever tasted.
Because it's made by, is it made by monks or something? It's supposed to be a Buckfast Abbey or something, is it? I don't
know.
Are
you serious?
I don't know. I'm joking. But maybe my theory, I'm just making shit up. And it's like, maybe they made that to stop people from drinking. I don't know. But people get really fucking defensive with Buckfast. See Buckfast drinkers?
Oh,
I swear to God, they seriously, I know a guy, I'm not even going to call him a friend. But I remember me going, nah man, Buckfast tastes like punk's piss. And he was like, oh, fucking man, I fucking love, don't you slobber. But he literally got really excited about and fucking protective. And I was, dude, it's a bottle of fucking booze. Chill out.
Oh, dear. I'm so, so sorry
no.
to anyone I've offended. I can tell you this is the only apology that I will make.
I'm not apologising. Try paint thinners. That'll be good. Paint thinners with maybe, I don't know, add a bit of fucking berries or something. And there you have it. Buckfast. But, we're going to Lurgan, so I suppose I might as well pretend I like Buckfast. So sorry.
So we'll bring a bottle down and pass it through the audience.
We'll have a taste.
We'll have
a
taste test.
Yeah,
we'll have a tasting in Lurgan.
We'll taste either my piss or Buckfast.
I'll go with your piss, like.
And we'll blindfold you, and it'll be the Buckfast piss test. And
as Jones always says, why does your piss taste like sugar puffs?
Because I eat lots of sugar puffs. And
how does he know that?
He likes to drink my pee.
There we go, folks. There you
go.
Have
Jones,
it. So.
Would you? Yeah. Oh, joking. Can you imagine that dribbling down his big hairy chin?
I don't want to do that.
Ugh. Sorry, Max. I'm sorry for making... Max is getting skittish. He's like, look at me going, hey, bye. This is my house. You calm down. I will calm down, Max. It's fine. I shall not make any sudden sounds. But anyway, so that's basically, I suppose, what I was up to. We've kind of wanted to segue onto something else and we'll come back, because that's why it's called The Art of Talking Bollocks.
That's it, yeah.
Just want to say thank you to Big Jim McLean McLean, whatever. Is that how you spell it? I can't. But Jim, thank you for having us on, myself and Jones on Banter Flicks every week. We got to do a wee bit of the show on there. What did we do? A wee bit of the show. We talked about, got to plug the show. They wouldn't show one of our sketches. Ooh, should I go into that?
Yes.
I think I will. But first of all, thanks, Jim, for having us on. I don't know if I did any good. I have no idea what I was talking about with movies. I got to go and see a free movie. I got to go and see Ma. Ma, and I may as well give you my review that was edited, because I kind of went on about stuff. Ma, if you haven't seen it.
I really want to.
You really don't. It's kind of...
okay.
It's kind of boring. For a horror movie, I found it a bit... It went on a bit.
Okay.
The teenagers were fucking stupid. They were morons. Now, I know teenagers are morons, but one of the points I made, which didn't make air, was, yeah, we all had that guy or girl that was older that would have bought us drink. You know, did you get something to buy you drink?
No.
No? Okay.
Well, I didn't start drinking until I was 21.
Oh, so, saint. Saint
not
for sure.
No, it's just the way it is.
Well, I would have, when I was about 14, whatever, would have got...
Jesus Christ.
Would have got, you know, the dodgy guy to go and get you a drink.
Yeah, right. I've seen it, yeah.
But if the dodgy guy had said to me, here, guys, do you want to come back to my place and drink? I would have said no. In this movie, they say yes to Matt. And they keep going back. So they're stupid. I don't want to give away, also I'm kind of giving spoilers away. But it just turned out to be really, it went on for too long. There was bits of misery in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of points where just blatantly misery. It was just stupid. And I just went out of it going, eh.
That's disappointing, because I actually like her as an actress.
She's fantastic.
She's brilliant as an actress, but also when they show you the previews and everything, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And it looks so frightening. I mean, that would be a frightening situation anyway, that kind of thing. But obviously they show all the jumpy bits and the scary bits in the trailer to make people go and watch it, and that pisses me off.
And they all happen at the end. It goes on, and every time you think, okay, something's gonna go and she's gonna do something to them now, she
yeah.
doesn't do it, and it's and you're like, okay, what's going on? And then it goes on, and they come back to the house, and yes, she acts a bit weirder and stuff, and she changes brilliantly. I mean, Octavia Spencer is a really, she's too good for this.
Yeah.
She knocks it out of the park. She's fantastic. But the Allison Janney in it, the best thing I seen her in was I, Tonya. It's with Tonya Harding.
Oh yeah.
The ice skater. She played the mum, and she's hilariously, she's just so dark, and
mm-hmm.
she's amazing in it. She was in this, and she was you. Now I think she's friends with the director. There must be something like that, because basically she played a vet in it, and came out and shouted at your woman a couple of times to get back to work or get off the phone, and that's all she did. Waste of an actor, I thought. And
yeah.
It just felt lazily written. It was too long, and that's my. Listen, go and watch it yourself. If you think
yeah,
I'm talking
probably
shit.
Still watch it just because I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm probably gonna really enjoy it, because I know nothing about films.
Yeah.
At all.
But I'm the same. This is the thing. Sorry, Jim.
Jim, just a quick question. Out of everybody in The Sixth Sense, you picked the one person who knows nothing about anything. He's like me. He's the male version of me.
Yeah.
If you wanted people to talk about movies, Bill, Jones, Cax, they're your men.
Bill's always on the fucking Banter Flicks show. To be fair, Jim asked me on, and it was nice to be on, and it was. I mean, it was talking about Batman. I love Batman, I suppose, and then we picked our own movie, which was Coming to America, so that was easy. That
mm-hmm.
was the easy bit. So I just hope I did alright for him and stuff like that there, as usual.
Yeah,
but
did really well.
It was enjoyable to do, and yeah, I'd love to go back on. Of course, he'd said to me, you know, you'd come back on, so it'd be great. And thanks for, you know, to be fair to Jim. Jim has constantly given us a big up for Sixth Sense.
He has.
Constantly given it. And that kind of what led us up to what happened. Jim wanted to put one of our videos online or on the show, our wheelchair sketch, which is not offensive at all. I'm sorry, I don't care. And for some reason it wasn't shown. I don't know. I don't want to start getting too randy because it could be just be they didn't have time. It could just be that. And I'm trying to be nice. I don't know. But we've tried to get our stuff on to that TV station and they don't like our stuff. So it's probably maybe to do a bit of that there. But
it's probably 100% to do with that, to be quite honest. Without getting bitchy and whatever else. However, my take on that is I don't think it's right for any TV station at all to dismiss things based on a personal opinion or your personal preference on comedy.
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, there's a lot of things on certain channels that shouldn't be on because they're really
don't get
not
me started
worth it.
There.
So there are a lot of people. I know a lot of people, and I know that there are a lot of people that would love to see The Sixth Sense do a TV show and have it on TV and things like that. But unfortunately, it's this kind of, well, I don't like it, so nobody else is going to get to enjoy it type of thing.
Yeah, and that's it's frustrating. But look, do you know what? It's fair enough. They don't like it. It's fine. We'll move on. And if it's good as people think it is, then eventually hopefully it will get shown on somewhere.
It will,
you know. So that's that. I don't want to go too much in it because I don't know the full story behind it, so there's
no
point me sitting and going in and
then
it comes out going, actually no, it wasn't time. It could have been just
well
that.
We don't know
it was, but it was you know, again, you know, Banderflix were gonna, you know, wave the flag for us, and so thank you for that. The only other thing I've got been up to, it's my wedding anniversary tomorrow. I'm married 19 years, believe it or not.
Aww.
I know I look like a young spring chicken, but yeah, I got married young, and so but we're still together and we're married 19 years tomorrow. So Sarah, happy anniversary. And
happy anniversary, so, lovely Sarah. How have you stuck in all these years? You deserve a medal.
I'm sitting right here, Michelle.
There
I'm
you are
right here.
Any plans tomorrow?
We're actually going to go out this evening and get something to go for a meal and just have a good time. Tomorrow's sort of Father's Day as well, so you know, we're going to go and do wee bits and pieces, and we've got to take Holly, my daughter, to my mum's because she's going to the airport the next day. She has to stay at my mum's. My daughter Holly's going on holiday. I'll mention my son Jack.
Hey Jack.
As well.
Hi,
hey Jack.
Holly.
So they're all there. So
can't leave anybody out.
I believe a family there, yeah. He's not going, you know, favouritism, I think. I don't know. That's what he's saying. I'm joking, anyway. But no, because Holly's just finished her A-level, so my mum's taking her away on a wee holiday to Greece, not Mexico, as I said earlier, for some weird reason.
Oh, it's because they're right next to each other?
Yeah.
I mean,
but don't worry. The thing is, me and Jack are going to go and watch Toy Story 4 before Holly gets to see it, so
that is so much better than going to Greece.
Thank you very much.
It actually is, to
she's,
be fair.
So yeah, we're thinking me, Sarah and Jack are going to take photos and all, send them to Holly just to wind her up. So.
Oh yeah, you take photos in the pissing rain and she'll take photos down on the beach.
Probably, yeah. But I'm going to see.
You definitely win.
I'm going to see Toy Story 4 before. So, I win.
You do win.
It's about winning and losing in my household.
Yeah.
It's just the one long. It's me annoying my kids, and because they annoyed me when they were growing up with their little. Nah, I'm joking, kids. I'm only joking.
All this just before Father's Day?
Yeah. Well, this is coming out on Father's Day, so by the end I've bought my present. See what I mean?
That's it, yeah.
See how to do this?
Yeah.
See how the genius that I am. I wouldn't say genius, but there we go.
You know, speaking of Father's Day, I was in a card shop, and I won't say the name of this card shop. So, when it's Mother's Day, right, they always have cards like Happy Mother's Day, or You're like a mum to me, and things like that. And I always get a card like that from Chloe, from her godmother, and she always buys me a wee present on Mother's Day and makes a fuss and whatever. But I've never seen a card that says anything offensive towards mums who aren't in the picture solely because they don't want to be.
Yeah.
And I was in a card shop the other day and I wanted to get my dad a card. I got him a Donald Trump card. And because he constantly makes us watch CNN, you have no idea, it's all the time, it's on the TV. So I got him the Donald Trump card just to, you know, wind him up. And there was a card saying, "You don't have to have balls to be my dad." And it's for all of those absent dads. And I just thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know what, that's really not cool.
Yeah, because there's a lot of dads.
Because you don't
there.
Do it when there's absent mums.
Yeah.
Because there are mums out there, let's face it, who just walk away from their kids or whatever. Why do it for the men? I just thought it was horrible. And I don't want to say the name of the place, but it kind of really pissed me off to the point where I actually wanted to write a complaint in.
Right.
Even though my dad's here and it's great.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Whatever, but I just felt there was no need for that whatsoever.
God, I don't know.
I've not seen anything like that. Like, you don't have to
see,
have balls.
I think it proves us dads get all the shit.
I mean, sometimes it's justified.
Well, it is very justified, but no, no.
Not on
I don't
occasion,
know.
Again,
what you're saying, because it can be a bit shitty just to say, oh, it's only dads that are deadbeats, because they're not. It's
exactly.
There is a lot of ones, you know, where the dads are the heroes, do you know what I mean? You see all that stuff, so
yeah.
So, yeah, for the dads, woo! Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to young Bill and young Christopher.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
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 Oh, and my dad? Why am I saying happy Father's Day to them too? They're not my dad. Oh, come on.
Daddy.
Sick.
That's when you're going to call him the creepy daddy, you know, anytime you say that to me.
I can't say
daddy.
That word. No.
It just sounds
you've
like
ruined it for me.
I've ruined that, sorry.
I always called my dad daddy and you've destroyed it.
Do you want to tell him why? Or
no,
it...
no, I just. It just became like a joke. And
Michelle...
I used to just say, like, thank you, daddy, and things like that. But it just. Because.
The way you said it.
It's the way I said it, and then obviously this. Sicko is in this sicko group, so it gets twisted people into things that it's not, and he's just ruined it for the rest of my life, so thank you.
You're welcome But yeah, no, a big call out to Chloe or Chloe, because Chloe's our wee superstar, you know. She does our some promos for us, she's been in some of our videos, so a big call out to young
she
Chloe. Oh, she does love it. She's a wee, she is the diva.
She is a diva.
You know, but big colleague, I just heard it, so I had to say that. You've seen her in some of her videos and stuff like that there. So, yep. So, Father's Day is tomorrow. And so, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Have a good one.
Including me.
Yes,
I'm a dad.
Including you.
I'm a dad.
You're a daddy.
Oh, don't. That sounds wrong. So anyway, this is the Art of Talking Bollocks. We don't have segments as such, but I wanted to start. I got really angry the other day.
Oh.
I got really angry the other day, and I think I sent you a message saying, Michelle, this podcast might turn ranty. It's not as ranty, it's been actually quite nice. We've not ranted, and I don't want to get Max starting to bark at me, because he might get ranty at me. But what got me pissed off, and I don't usually get annoyed about stuff on news and all that shit, I go, was the dual brand thing. Now I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to actually, you know what, there is actually going to be some sort of fucking structure to this podcast, which I've entitled, "Why is everyone a cunt?" You know, because at the moment it feels like everyone is a cunt. And I'll tell you, but you're going to probably, I think you've got a few things you want to get off your chest as well. It started the other week, and I'm going to have a go at, it's not just my hatred for people like Donald Trump and Boris Johnson. I do hate them as well. And Nigel Farage, don't get me started. But it annoyed me the other week that Donald Trump had come over, done his visit. And people, I seen this video of these people screaming at this old guy who was a Trump supporter. And don't get me wrong, Trump's on, Jesus Christ, what a fucking
knob
prick that he is, by the way. Prince of Wales, you fucking idiot.
I know.
You fucking idiot, you orange twat. Fucking Prince of Wales, aye. And where's the Princess of Dolphins, you dick? Anyway, he The princess of dolphins? The Duchess of fucking tuna. Yeah, prick.
The Duchess of
tuna. I met her. The Duchess of tuna. Friends of the Prince of Wales. You fucking idiot. You really, I mean, this is the guy that's charged warden, basically.
I know.
But no, I mean, anyway, I've gone off on a rant. See, I've started ranting. But, I'm going to think of all these fish names. The Countess of...
The Duke of Salmon.
The Duke of Salmon. The Countess of Prawn. You know... The
Lord Haddock.
I like that.
Lord Haddock.
Lady Octopus. We could go on.
Lady Octopus
sounds like the next big pop sensation.
Forget Lady Gaga, people. We've got Lady Octopus.
Anyway, you can think of 100 names, and if you want to prove you're actually listening to the fucking podcast, get your fish, royal fish. You can stick it on the page. You know, it's on Facebook. You're the Talking Bollocks podcast.
Oh,
anyway, where was it? Yes. This old guy was getting fucking shouted by all these Trump protesters, and someone threw a fucking milkshake around him. And I thought, or the guy got pushed to the ground, I think he had a milkshake thrown over. And I was like, no, you haven't got it. You stop fucking fighting each other and screaming. There's no getting together and going, okay, you like Donald Trump. This is why I don't like Donald Trump. This is, you know, leave the guy alone. Maybe he was shouting stuff. I don't know. He probably was shouting stuff, but it looked so bad. You looked as bad as they were.
Well, you can't really come across and say, I hate Trump because he incites hate.
Yeah.
Then you step back and you see this old guy and you push him to the ground.
Yeah.
Or you throw things around him or whatever. Why are you any better than Donald Trump?
Exactly.
If you are really disgusted about the things that he says and the things that he does and his policies and whatever, there are certainly ways to let people know that, and it's not by assaulting an old man, and it's not by throwing milkshake over people.
No.
It's about, you can have your protests, you can have peaceful protests, you can have these conversations with people, you can vote, there's plenty of options, but being violent towards an older older man, it's just not the way to do it.
There was this woman screaming in his face, and I thought, no, you're reminding me of all these Trump supporters when they first came out, and it's like, you'll listen to me, and you can't fight hate with hate. And I'm not turning this into the Stephen Barrett peace protest kind of thing, but you know,
it's, we're gonna open our brass.
Yeah, that's it. We're gonna fucking bang our tambourines. But that's a piss. It really annoyed me. And it's like, that brings me on to the milkshake throne. Captain Knobhead himself, Nigel Farage. And if you like Nigel Farage, stop listening to my podcast. I'm only joking, listen away. But he's a knob. He got milkshake thrown over him. And even I went, oh, for fuck's sake, that you can't win that. You're building. You're making him. You're making his case stronger. You're making more people are going out.
Yeah.
It's not helping.
No.
Cut the Joe Brand was on Radio 4 the other week and made a joke basically saying these people are morons for one milkshake round Nigel Farage. It should have been battery acid. It's a joke. It's in a comedy. I found it kind of funny, but because I knew it was a joke, and I can tell what a joke is and what not a joke is. Now, the same Nigel Farage came in and says, oh, this is incitement to violence. This is where my rant took fucking hold. No, it's not. It's not, because if you go out and throw fucking acid around someone's face, it's not because Joe Brand sat and told a joke. You don't go, oh, Joe Brand just turned around and says, there's no one just sitting there listening to Radio 4 and Joe Brand tells that joke and they throw the pen down going, that's a fucking great idea, I'm going to throw fucking acid around someone's face. No, stop being, and the thing that got me really angry was that she was getting investigated by the police. Someone reported her to the police, and again, this is what I was trying to bring this up in the last podcast. It kind of didn't go too far, but you can't get in trouble with the police for telling a joke. I'm sorry, you can't. It's not good. It's scaring me. because that's real. It's speech. It's proper free speech. It's a joke. It's in context. Use your fucking brains.
Well, I don't think there's any such thing as free speech anymore. It's become really tough to even be allowed to have an opinion on things.
Yeah.
If you have an opinion on something that's not even remotely racist, you're suddenly racist, or you're a bigot, or you're sexist,
yeah.
or you're always something.
You're always labelled.
You're always labelled as something. You're not allowed to say anything. And this is ridiculous to me. Somebody like him can say that she's inciting hate. Somebody
mm-hmm.
like him.
It's so ironic. It's like
the things that he has said and done. It's just ridiculous that she's the one being investigated when politicians, in my opinion, are the worst for things like that.
Yeah.
They spread hate every single day, and they are the reason that the world is the way that it is, because they can't control what they say.
Yeah.
They come out with the most horrendous stuff. Donald Trump's one of them. Like I said to you before we did the podcast, he was recorded saying grab women by the pussy or whatever. So if men go around grabbing a woman by the pussy, is he getting blamed for it?
Yeah.
Is he getting investigated by the FBI? Is people gonna you know, investigate his methods or whatever?
And they're the first fuckers that are gonna start screaming and crying that someone makes a horrible comment about them or says something, but they'll say stuff. So it's like, shut the fuck up. You can't. But a lot of it is playing. They play by their own rules. They kind of go, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna get away, because they're getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. It drives me mad. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Joe Cox's sister, Joe Cox, who was murdered on the street. She's in case you didn't know, is Labour MP. Was murdered by some agent in the street. Came out and was like, "Oh, well, people need to watch what they say against Joe Brand." And it really annoyed me, because I was like, "Again, no, that's bollocks. I'm sorry. If a person goes and throws acid in someone's face, they've either got serious mental health problems, and they're the ones that are the problem, not the person saying it. You know, it's not like Joe Brand came out and says, you should go and throw battery acid. It was a joke.
If you are that easily influenced, then there's something seriously wrong there, because there's so much influence in the world that people always talk about and whatever else, but you don't see everybody running out and doing it. So if she's not even allowed to make a joke now, it's a very sad day for comedy.
Yeah.
Because nobody is going to feel comfortable. Then people are not being themselves, because they're not allowed to be themselves.
I feel there's no common sense at all. That's the fucking problem. There's no fucking common sense. It's two sides. It's the left and the right, almost.
Well, that's it. There's no middle.
And the middle ground are kind of not being listened to. And so everyone's screaming and fucking shouting. I've said this before. The world at the moment, I used to use it, the analogy for Twitter, but I think it's turned into the world now. It's turned into Monty Python, Life of Brian. It's turned into the stoning scene. I don't know if you've ever seen the stoning scene in Monty Python, where the guy's gone, he's about to get stoned because he said Jehovah.
Right.
And they're all screaming, you know, and then someone else says it and start fucking stoning. And it's like someone else says something and they all attack. You need to watch it. I probably haven't explained it that well, but that's what it reminds me of, and that's what gets me, though. You know, there's people on both sides of the blame for all this. I think, you know, what you people would say the PC police back in the day have actually made the loonies on the right grow.
Yes.
So you've got, because people were going, oh, that's offensive, you can't say that. You can't. Well, you can, as long as you can see it in context. The loonies on the right are coming forward used to get fucking laughed off. We had a laugh 15 years ago. Boris Johnson was a fucking comedy person. He was on Have I Got News For You, and he was a joke subject. So, and same as all these, they were just fucking. But the problem is now they've been given, they're now fucking superstars almost, you know, which is fucking,
it's kind of scary,
crazy.
Because 3 years ago, on the Locked podcast, Land of the Cursed Dead, Cax and Jones's podcast, we plugged there, guys.
You guys, get hold on, before we do, get that fucking shit back on, by the way.
I know, I miss it.
Because I do miss it, and I think, you know,
it is good crack.
Try and find a way. I know he's got a lot of time, don't have a lot of time now, family commitments and stuff, but guys, fuck, keep it going, even if it's one every fucking 6 months.
Yeah.
Which I think it was anyway.
It was. Or one a year, whenever.
Sorry, you were saying.
But I was on their podcast and we were talking about Donald Trump, and at this time he wasn't president, but he was running for president.
Yeah.
And I thought this was hilarious. If you listen back, it was episode 69.
Oh.
Episode 68. Why, oh?
Because it's 69.
You're a disgrace. It's like episode 68.
Sorry, no, but just... You know.
But if you listen back to it, I thought this was the most funniest thing I'd ever heard. And I was saying to the guys, that's ridiculous, and that's not going to happen, and God help the world if it does, and whatever. And then...
It did.
It was the most shocking thing in politics, in my opinion, because here is a reality star.
Yeah.
Basically, here is a reality star, and all of a sudden, he is the leader of the USA.
The most powerful country pretty much in the world.
And then we have this fucking clown, Johnson, who everybody thinks is a joke. And like you said, he's been on these comedy shows and everything else, and he is about to become the leader of the UK. And it's unbelievable.
It's fucking hell. It's scary. It's what it is. And the thing is, mate, I could see him, if he becomes leader, I'm going to make a prediction. There will be a general election, and he'll probably beat Jeremy Corbyn, because Jeremy Corbyn and Labour is two, they've been torn apart. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it was, to be funny with the Trump thing, I remember Michael Moore, the document guy does it, he called it, and he was telling people, stop, don't underestimate the guy, don't look. And I think a lot of what happened in America, from what I can gather, was a lot of people went, Trump will not win, I don't need to vote, fuck. And that's how he got in. One of the reasons he got in was because of that. But this is what's annoying me about, like, if Trump and Boris, I hate this saying of, oh, well, he's not a politician, that's why I voted for him. That, to me, is stupid. I want my politicians there to be a diplomat. And this is said in a lot calmer than I said it the other day, and I probably sound like a fucking lunatic, and Sarah, my missus, will probably totally agree. And I says, I'm going to say this in a fucking podcast, so this might be a wee bit. But I says, yeah, Boris says it how it is. Come back to me when he says it how it is to the wrong fucking country, starts a fucking war, and they turn up to your house with a folded fucking flag because your son's been killed because of a war that fucking buffoon has started. And that's the strongest thing I can ever say. That's the kind of person he is. It's the same person as Trump. They'll say fucking shit. They don't give a fuck because their sons aren't going to war. It's your sons are going to war, and daughters now, you know, because thank fuck, you know, the army have wised up and given people a fucking chance. If you want to be in the army, you're in the army. And then usually the ones your families are going to suffer. It's the working class fucking families to suffer. There is, of course, it's not just working class families. It's fucking, there is middle class, because you have people of higher rank and they always come from that sort of background. But you know what my point is. It's fuckers like that making wars for other people to fucking die. Sorry, I'm getting all political here, aren't I?
No, it's a really good point, because he can't watch what he says. We were saying earlier about that time the British Iranian lady was arrested in Iran, and he came out and said that she was over there and she was training journalists.
Yeah.
When her family the entire time insisted that her and her daughter were over visiting her parents. And she was over visiting her parents, but he said this, and this poor lady was stuck there.
Yeah.
And because he said that, they started to investigate that more, and they believed him because he's a politician from the UK. Why is he going to lie about his own people? But he did. He didn't have all the facts. He came out and he said this in front of the world, and this poor woman was left there to rot. Yes, okay, in the end it got sorted. But his apology really pissed me off. His apology was half-assed. He basically said, I'm sorry if it got misinterpreted.
Yeah.
You can't misinterpret that.
That's someone's fucking life.
It's a completely different thing that you said. You didn't come out and say, you know, she's visiting people or she's on a vacation or whatever. You came out and basically said she's training people.
Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot.
And that was a simple job. A simple task of going over and sorting it out.
And he couldn't do that. What's he going to do as a prime minister?
Exactly.
We're fucked, people. We are fucked. I mean, it's beyond a joke now. People always laugh about it. Oh, but that'll never happen. It is going to happen. You heard it here. He's going to be the prime minister. And
yeah,
we all need to leave the world.
Well, the world, the again, do you know what, Cax, you've been fucking mentioned about 50 times, unless you're not going to mention ever again, but he would say, his saying, basically, he used to say on his own podcast, was, fuck me, I cannot wait till the meteor arrives.
Yeah.
And that's the way, I mean, and I'm going to kind of, I'm trying to think of any other points to fucking go about this bastard, but I'm going to leave it at that, maybe at that, and just say, you know, sometimes you've got to make your world smaller.
Yeah.
Because you find yourself getting wound up by people, these fucking idiots on TV, and sometimes the world goes, you know what? I'm going to just make the world small and go, yeah, I've got my family, I've got my comedy group, and I've got this. Because sometimes you can't control what's going to fucking happen.
No.
You can't control, no matter, yes, you can, you can go out and vote, but the problem is, being in Northern Ireland, we can't really, because we don't really have a say. It's horrible, but it's I suppose just make your world fucking smaller. It's like a Jerry Springer moment there at the end.
I mean, we're not political in any sense of the word. I mean, we always joke about and everything together and things like that, but and we don't talk about politics a lot, but it's just always on now. It's so serious now.
I don't mind people, this is like, honestly, I said I was going to wrap it up, but I'm not, I don't mind people. Fuck it, there's something else just came to my head, but I don't mind people having different opinions from me, but as long as you listen to my opinion, I'll listen to your opinion, and then I'll tell you why. It was funny, I was talking, it was a girl I work with, an English girl I work with, and she sort of went to me, I'd said something, whatever it was, I came up and I'd said, fuck, I don't like fucking Trump's an arsehole, or something like that anyway, and she was saying, why do you not like him? And I went, fair question. And he says, well, I think one of the examples I gave was the Muslim ban.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that he banned all Muslims from coming into America. And she said, oh, but that would stop terrorists coming. And I says, but not all Muslims are terrorists. It's like saying every person from Northern Ireland is a fucking terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, and she couldn't quite get it. So I threw this at her. He says, okay, you're English. And she went, yeah. And he says, okay, what happens if there was, oh God, anyone who's a unionist here, hold your ears, but if there was a United Ireland and someone took over like Trump in Ireland, right?
Yeah.
Full bum bum Irish, fucking hate English, right?
Mm-hmm.
And went, right, no English are allowed in Ireland ever again. These are not, I don't care who you are, but the English have heard us Irish, blah blah blah. And I said, you would never be allowed in Ireland, you're banned from Ireland, but you've done nothing. You, what would you do? And she went, oh, I'd be annoyed. And I went, well, there you go. It's a simple, that was the simplest terms I could put it
in.
That
was a great point, actually.
You know, it's a simple term. It's just that alone to me incites, that plays into these fucking extremist hands. Him saying, no Muslims are allowed. So they turn around and go, see, you should join our jihadi because The West doesn't trust Muslims. The West hates Muslims.
Yeah.
And that's what builds it. So sorry, I'm getting really fucking political.
To end on that point, over the past 10 years, more people in America have died at the hands of white people than they have of Muslims.
Exactly.
Or Middle Eastern people. They have died at the hands of white Christians who are obsessed with guns.
Yeah.
And there's your terrorists right there. Trump, so if you're going to kick people out, you may start kicking out your whole country.
No, but they're mentally deranged. They're not.
No, they're terrorists.
That's what he says. But
no, then if that's the case, anybody who kills another person should be labelled as mentally ill.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, who would ever do that free willingly then?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then let's call it what it is. You're either a terrorist or you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
And that's the thing. So no, as I say, everything's a bit fucked up, but sometimes I think, as I say, you just need to just look after your own wee world.
That's That's it. Me and my doggy.
Exactly. And that's your wee world. And Max has looked up and went, yeah, yep, you're talking about me again. But yeah, so I mean, that's it. It didn't turn into the biggest rant that followed me. We kind of were quite more calmer. I think it's given me a couple of days. I would like to say, on a really positive note, that the police have not charged Joe Brand since Wednesday. I read it this morning. I think it was last night. They're not charging her.
Good.
I'm pretty sure they seen it and went, yeah, we're not going to fucking do that. It's a load of waste of time.
Oh my God, they've enough.
I'm sure they've enough to go on.
Come on.
And they did. So thank God for that there. I'm not even a massive Joe Brand fan, but I do kind of like some of her humour. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter if I wasn't a fan of that guy when I was talking in the last show about the guy who did the Hitler thing with his dog. I'm not a fan of him. He ended up going to fucking the UKIP thing, though. Anyway, but it's not the fact of that, it's the fact of you can't send people to jail, or Max's balancing a toy in his mouth, and Michelle's worried about him dropping it before. He's now, you hear the duck, there's a duck. But anyway, guys, I'm sure you're fucking bored, stupid of us. No, you're not. You're here listening to us, this wonderful intellectual. See, talking bollocks, this is learning this shit. We're changing the world. Podcast by podcast, by God.
I'm going to run the next election.
But yeah.
Hey, I have a chance. If them tools can do it, I can do it.
Anyone can do it, they did. Sorry, what did I say? If you can do it, anyone can do it. I meant, no. If they can do it, you. Oh, shut up, Stephen. But I'll tell you, the big thing of the week was Bieber versus Tom Cruise.
Oh my God.
In a steel cage. And I was excited, but also angry, and I hope that the duck has spoken. See what Michelle's farting. But anyway, yeah, Trump, well, we'll know of a smell, but you won't. Bieber versus Cruise. Now, it's turned out that wee Bieber's a wee fucking chicken shit, no surprise, because he's like, oh, I was only joking, I was only kidding along. I didn't really want to fight him. He probably kicked my ass anyway. Tom probably would have kicked your ass, and I don't like Scientologists, but Tom would have kicked your ass. And I was raging because I thought it would be class. They could have had stipulations like wrestling. They could have had, if Bieber loses, he's never allowed to sing again. We'd all be cheering for Tom. If Tom loses, he can't be in Scientology, or he has to give away the secrets of Scientology. You could throw in things like that there.
I know, but at the same time, it doesn't annoy me that he's in Scientology, because that's his thing.
Yeah, no, that's his thing.
And then when you see him in a movie or whatever, he's just class. I love
him.
And he's just brilliant, and Justin Bieber's just a twat. And he's always moaning about somebody, or he always wants to fight somebody. Then it pissed me off more that Conor McGregor got involved, because he's another twat.
Yeah.
He comes out and says, oh, well, I'll put it on or whatever. What for the money? So you're making it a complete joke.
Yeah.
Of MMA, of all those people who train for years, and it's their sport and it's their job and whatever. You are just taking the piss now.
But he took the piss.
He took the piss for the boxing match. Come on.
So there you go.
But he does take the piss, because all he's in it for is money. He's not in it for love of anything. You know, I have a friend, Stephen, who I used to work with, Jones McNone too, and he's fantastic at what he does, and he's been around everywhere fighting. He's been in Vegas, he's been in Brazil training, and he's absolutely amazing, and he's so dedicated to what he does. Like, he runs all the marathons, he eats healthy, he's always you know, mind and body is in this. Conor McGregor's just, give me the money, you two want to fight, let's do it. I wish he had it. I wish Tom Cruise had come back and said, yeah, I'll do it, and I'll beat the shit out of you.
It's, do you know what fucking annoyed me, though? It's the fact that he said something along the lines of, oh, I want to fight Tom Cruise, and if you don't accept this fight, you'll never be able to live it down. And then 2 days later, he goes, I was only joking about that. You've just made a total cunt of yourself.
The fact that he thinks Tom Cruise knows who he is,
yeah,
number one. And that Tom Cruise is on Instagram, number two, that's going to actually read his little.
And Tom Cruise
posts.
Gives a shit. And don't get me wrong, he maybe was joking, but it's a joke, and maybe people took it too seriously, but it didn't come across as a joke. That it looked stupid, it just looked like he was being a wee dick. And that. So at this point, this is going to sound really disjointed, right? So, like a fucking dick. I didn't realize on this podcast, this is my first day, it's my second day. I didn't realize that each wee segment only lasts an hour on this Anchor app. Me and Michelle have been talking for 20 fucking minutes, and you aren't even gonna fucking hear it. So we got as far as me calling Justin Bieber a wee dick, and then it
Oh,
kind of
good
tails off.
Lord.
So I'm gonna try it. I don't know how I'm gonna edit this, but fuck it, I'm just gonna call myself out as a fucking knobhead because I didn't check out.
Well, they're gonna miss all the comedy gold.
The rest, there was
It's only
so
gonna
much.
last
It was
20
amazing.
minutes.
He's missed the amazing thing. Max started talking. I swear to
He
fuck.
did. He said to Steve, "I don't lick my own hole."
He says, "Fuck you, motherfucker." He said, "I'd lick my own hole, kiss my ass," and I was like, "No."
Yeah, he did.
He also sang a rendition of "I Did It My Way." It was amazing. His
Was
thoughts on
amazing.
Trump were unbelievable. Didn't realize he was such a Trump supporter. But there you go. But we listened to him. We talked to him,
We did, and we heard his
and we
point
listened to
of
his
view.
opinion. He listened to our opinion.
Yeah.
And we all went, okay, fair enough, we
Yeah.
respect each other.
No.
There you go.
Now we're looking for a home for him.
Yep,
So if you
he's moving out.
if you want a collie cocker spaniel, you can have him.
His photos will be put up on the thing. But yeah, basically I've made a fuck up. I don't know if I'm gonna go and do the whole lot. Do you really wanna do it? It won't have the same magic. Fuck it. Well, I don't know. But yeah, basically, we ended with the whole Bieber thing. Tom Cruise, if you just want to put up something, I'm going to mention it in the next podcast, what you think about it. That's fair enough. I don't really like the podcast running over too long anyway, so yeah. But I think I'd written down a couple of things. Well, we'll go over those. Will it work the same? I don't know.
We'll give it a go.
But before the whole Joe Brown thing, I was trying to think what to say in this podcast. Had a wee few wee pointers down. So I had a wee thing called, I was going to call it the Anger Corner. I had even thought of doing a wee jingle for it. The
Oh, should
Anger
do.
Corner.
La la
Yeah,
la la la.
see, beautiful. Without, infringing copyright. A couple of pet hates that I have was adults that can't say spaghetti, they say biscotti. And the reason Max, because we've just realised we've mentioned the thing about Max kissing his own arse, licking his own arse.
Yeah.
People don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
the people who kiss their own dogs, but on the lips and let them lick their mouths, it's disgusting. It's fucking horrible. And I think the other one was, yes,
My favorite one of them all.
adults that say horsey. What the fuck?
Love it.
First of all, spaghetti, biscotti. I don't want to tell that story because when I was telling it, I was going, it's not that funny. It's just about a grown man that was talking to me, and he told me he was trying to be the big man. Yeah, I could drink loads of drink because I always have like a big dinner. Because tonight I had a big bowl of biscotti. And I couldn't look at him in the face. People who say horsey are fucking 30 years old. I'm away to betting the horses. Oh, look at the horses coming down the street. I live in a country village that we have these things every so often. But
Well,
horses, like, come on.
I love it.
Grown man saying horsey.
I think it's cute. I mean, I know that it's not called the horsey races, and
Yes.
it's not called Cheltenham horses racing, but I think it's super cute. When my wee brother was younger, he'll not be listening anyway, but
Why not?
because he, I don't know.
He's got taste.
But, well, that's debatable. But he used to call horses honkies.
Honeys?
Honky.
You've just
Because he couldn't pronounce horsey or coffee, and he used to call coffee cocky,
Right.
and horsey was honky.
I like this. This is a segue. We're going to go off on one because I used to wouldn't be able to pronounce graveyard. I used to call it the gravy yard.
Of course, right? You did.
I used to call it graveyard, and I know you're listening, and I know you're gonna. You know I'm gonna say this, don't you, Holly? My daughter Holly couldn't say motorbike. She used to say moking a bike.
Oh,
so cute. She used to go, "Daddy, look, there's a moking a bike."
Oh.
I know you hate me for that, but it's going to be after Father's Day and you've already got my present, so there you go. But yeah, so but the difference was they were children, not grown men saying horsey.
True.
So I don't know why it annoys me, but it's like it makes me laugh. I don't know if it, I don't think annoys a bit of a strong word. It makes me laugh when I hear grown men saying horsey. And the other part that we spoke of, the reason why Max is now trying to lick her face, you just need to see this. Anyway, I'm glad it's a podcast now. Dogs licking their own arse is what. Oh, he's just like really. He looks really annoyed by me saying that. He's giving me a sideways look. Sorry, Max. I know you said you don't lick your own arse, and now you've stopped talking the minute the mic's back on. But dogs, yeah, owners kissing their own dogs. That's in the mouth, and he's trying to do that to you right now. That's wrong. Stop it! This is disgrace. Honest to God. Oh, Michelle's lost her shit now. She's gone.
I'm gonna choke.
Max is like, yeah.
Because, right, this is why.
Right, okay.
This dog has been so quiet this whole podcast, and the minute he says about dogs kissing their owners on the face, he all of a sudden pops up and starts licking my face and around my ear.
He didn't get the lips. And
he didn't
get
the lips, but
that's the thing.
He's
was
kissing my ear, and yeah.
But that's what I'd said when we didn't fucking record the last bit was, I don't like it because dogs lick their own arse. Apparently Max doesn't, and Max told us this when we were recording the last time, and now he's took a vow of silence. But here,
because we always, you know, like if he tried to do that, we were always like clapping our hands and
yeah.
telling him to stop. You know, like it's a natural thing.
Yeah.
But I don't want to watch that.
So it's a bit like, oh, hang on a second. We've got, yes, hang on, Michelle. We've found out Max isn't allowed to talk. It's a bit like Jerry Adams in the 80s. But we do have an actor that's going to come in and talk on behalf of Max. And
what?
Well, I'd like to report and categorically say that I do not lick my own hole. I am a very, very sanitized dog. I do not do these things. My owner cleans my arse for me, and I do not do it. Okay, so enough of this nonsense of me licking my own arseholes. Yes, there are dogs that do it. I do not do it. Okay, so I just want you to know that I'm absolutely disgusted by these comments. Well, I'm really sorry, Max. I want to say I apologize. You do not lick your own arse. I stand by those comments. I don't stand by those comments. I apologise and thank you for your points. Would you like to comment on your Donald Trump being a Donald Trump supporter? No, he would not. So there you go. That was Max. Thanks very much. The actor's left. We'll pay you later.
Thanks,
Max. So there you go. So that was Max. But anyway, so that was just random ramblings. We've actually, we're totally talking, it's gone off on a totally different tangent from the stuff that we fucking I didn't record, but
well,
we had the movie villain thing. I'm gonna leave it the next time. Fuck it, that's another segment for another day. We'll leave that for the next time, because it also put the talking baby on the internet. Did you see that, with a wee black kid with a guy and they're talking? Did you see that? No. And the wee kid's like, "How you been, Bob? How you been, Bobby? Well, and talking to the guy, and everyone said it was cute. Freaked me out. It was weird because he looked like a wee man talking.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Oh, I have to have a look at this then.
It freaked me out. So I don't know if it freaked anyone else out. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, on our second take after A lot shorter than the last one. Well, I have learnt a lesson. I need to check the time.
Yeah.
Michelle, thank you so much for having us at your home. Max, thank you very much for commenting on the whole licking arse incident. as we call it, dog arse gate.
That's disgusting.
That's weird. But everyone has to have a gate at the end of it. This is us. Just want to again plug the show for the Sixth Sense, Lurgan, Shane Nobody, 28th, 7:30 doors open.
Yeah.
Bring your own bottle, it's £5. There's a whole lot of sickness and much more.
Is BYOB bring your own bottle?
Yes it is.
Wow. Mind blown, everybody.
Every day's a school day on the art of talking bollocks. Anything you want to add there, Michelle, before we go?
Yeah, I always thought it was bring your own booze. Which makes more sense because not everybody drinks out of a bottle.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So who wins here? Me or you?
Yours makes more sense.
It does. Thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. we'll see you in the next episode. We'll see, or you can hear us in the next episode whenever we feel like doing it, which we'll try and do one as soon as we can. We'll maybe have some guests the next time. Maybe just before the next show so we can plug it again, or straight after the next show, but more than likely straight after the next show. So,
yeah.
I wanted to think of a nice tagline. Yeah, you know, if you're not talking shit, talk bollocks. What do we got for a tagline? Okay, see ya, folks.